rest of today just talking about Hebrews 11 and the faith. I hope you heard the faith of God's people over the years. And what is faith? You know, when you really stop and think about it, we hear the term have faith, believe, trust. What is faith? Well, the author of Hebrews tells us, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Remember last week we talked about hope and how horrible it is when people lose hope. You know, everybody's hoping in something. What are you hoping in? Well, here we're told that faith is assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. So we read all these examples of people by faith, trusting God, right? Why did they have faith? One of the, I think it might have been Sarah, the author says she had faith because he who made the promise was faithful, right? That's how we have faith. How do we have a blessed hope that this isn't the end? How do we have a blessed hope that Jesus could come back today? I don't know about anybody else. I'm in for the second advent of Christ coming before Christmas. I'm in. This world is wicked and evil, and some days it's hard to tolerate the wickedness and the evil. Jesus is coming back with peace and justice, right? Is that your hope this morning? Is that where your faith is? Is Jesus where your peace is? Life is hard. If we don't have faith in Christ, how do you have any peace? I don't know how people live without peace. Well, probably the truth is they don't even realize they are living without it. That was my own reality. There were times where I felt the peace of Christ in my life, but it wasn't constant. I didn't know it could be constant, but it can be. Jesus offers healing in his wings. We talked about last week. Do we have the hope and the belief that Jesus wants to offer us peace this morning? Remember, we talked about Mark chapter 4, where the storm and the sea, the raging sea, and then the Lord, I felt, just gave me the picture of that's a lot of our souls. It's a lot of our hearts, whether it's anxiety, whether it's stress, whether it's anger and rage or something storming within our souls. And as I thought about that, and I thought about that picture of the disciples, many of them fishermen who were afraid they're going to die. So you know it was a pretty bad storm because they lived on the sea. Where was Jesus? Sleep. How was he sleeping? How would you be sleeping in a storm where they think they're going to die? He had perfect peace, right? He had perfect peace. How? You know, whenever the disciples finally wake him up and he calms the storm and he says, "Oh, ye of little faith." As I meditated on that, I thought of there's two possibilities. Either one, he said, "You have little faith, you have the power and the ability to calm it yourself. What are you waking me up for?" He gave him the ability to go and cast out demons, heal the sick. He already gave him power over the physical creation in a spiritual realm. Could he have been saying, "I don't know what you're waking me up for. You have the same Holy Spirit upon them, not in them yet, not until Acts was it permanent." But Jesus had given him that ministry, right? He sent them out to cast out demons. He sent them out to heal the sick. Maybe he had given them the power to calm the storm. There's another possibility too. It could have been, "What are you worried about? My Father in heaven has us in the palm of his hands. This storm isn't going to stop me from my mission. It's not going to stop you from yours." Is there times where we have fear and worry and anxiety when God is in control? He's sovereign, but yet we have to respond. Yeah, that's another example of the mysteries I think we lose when we try to explain everything. We're made in God's image, right? Part of that image is sovereignty. God is sovereign. He can do what he wills. He gave us limited sovereignty. He gave us limited will. You can choose to get up and walk out right now. I could choose to quit preaching right now. He's given me a will. It's limited. I can't be a bird. I can't fly home after church. But he gave us a certain level of sovereignty in his image. We know right and wrong. I can choose evil. I can choose good. I can choose to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey. Or just like Stephen accused the people who stoned him, I can resist the Holy Spirit. But like I said, I feel like sometimes the stories have become so familiar, we lose the awe and the wonder. I mean, as the author of Hebrews was talking about Noah, God told him to build a huge boat. Many scholars believe it didn't even rain yet on earth. And they're telling him to build a boat. How foolish did he look? I mean, I know when we went to the Creation Museum and the Ark down in Kentucky, the thing is massive. It's unbelievably huge. Just imagine 150 years building this boat. People probably were heckling him. Like, Noah, you're an idiot. No, it hasn't rained in 1,000 years. My grandfather's been alive 938 years. It's never rained, and you're building this huge, massive boat. But his faith wasn't in what was seen, was it? Because they were leaning on what they could see. Noah, it's never rained. You're wasting your time. I can't believe you're doing this. But he had faith because the one who told him to build was faithful, right? God's faithful. He's never let us down. He's never not kept a promise. Why do you think Israel still has a place? There's a remnant in Israel. It might be small, but the true church is still in Israel right now today. There's a branch of the true church in Palestine. It's very, very small, but it's there. We're grafted into Israel. We didn't replace it. We're part of the true Israel. And our brothers and sisters in Christ are in Israel. They're in Palestine. They're in China. They're in India. You know, I heard a story by Dr. Rob Reamer who heard this man's testimony. He was in America, and it's hard to believe, but he grew up his whole life with no exposure to Christianity. He was in a bookstore one day, and he saw a Bible. He picked it up, and he bought it, and he started reading it. And I don't remember all his feelings on the Old Testament, but I do remember the part that really impacted me is he hit the New Testament, and he was blown away by Jesus Christ. As he read about this man who had love and compassion and boldness, and then died on the cross for us, he was totally moved and impacted. And I don't know if you ever heard of it, there's a book called Secret Believers. It was by Brother Andrew. He's most famous for smuggling Bibles into the Iron Curtain. I remember Brother Andrew's testimony one day when Russia invaded Poland, okay? His first thought was, I got to get there with Bibles. So he packs his car with Bibles, okay, and he's driving into Poland. He's the only car going in. There's miles and miles of cars trying to go out. And he gets to the guard shack, and they're like, what are you trying to do? Everyone's trying to leave. And they're like, do you have any papers? He's like, no, I heard the Russian was invaded, and I'm coming. And they're like, okay, this guy's crazy, whatever. They let him in. Why was he going in? Why was he running into war with the Word of God? He had no fear. Why? How did he have peace? How could you have peace when everybody's fleeing and afraid? How did he have peace? Because he knew the one who called him was faithful. He knew that his life didn't lay in the hands of the Russian army. It was in the hands of the living God. This is off track, but I love this story too. I was listening to a story one time of a guy that was with I think his name's Sammy Dagger. Kind of same concept. He did the same kind of stuff. And they were in a Muslim country, and they were smuggling Bibles. And him and this other guy got stopped at a checkpoint, which is kind of scary. Because if they find the Bibles, it could be death. Guy goes, what are you hauling? Sammy Dagger goes, I got dynamite. And the pastor's like, he's going to get us killed. And they just laughed and smiled and thought he was joking, so they let him through. Why was he so bold? Why did he have peace? I would have been with the passenger. I would have been scared. And when he said that, I would have been like, okay, Lord, this is it. I guess we're dying at this checkpoint. But how did he have peace to do that? Because the one that he trusted in was faithful. And that peace that comes from Christ is unexplainable. It surpasses understanding. So that's what I want to do this Advent season. I want to recapture this wonder. I want to have courage and bravery like Sammy Dagger and like Brother Andrew. You know, as he wrote in his book, Secret Believers, in this book, Secret Believers, it's about Muslims. Because then after the Iron Curtain fell, he started going into Muslim countries. You know, he's like on a no entry list for a bunch of Muslim countries because he'd go in with the Word of God. And one of his stories was about a Muslim, devout Muslim. Like the point where, like, if you're on your deathbed, you better roll out and do your prayers. He was this devout. And so his pastor, which they call him imams, gave him the Bible and said, look, we know this is false. Take it and tear it apart. Well, guess what happened to him when he read the Word of God? The Holy Spirit met him, and he became a just as radical follower of Jesus Christ. And as you read the story, and I'm engaging with this guy, I don't know him first, but I'm reading and I'm engaging. And when things happen negatively to these believers, I just remember just falling to my knees for the first time in my life, genuinely praying for the coming of Christ. Lord, just come. And I thought, that guy got to experience that same thing with Jesus. See, I knew him from a kid. I know these stories front and back. I've read them all. And sometimes I lose that wonder. I lose that emotional reaction to Jesus, where we see him born a virgin. We see him growing up. We see his love and his compassion. We see him fighting against the hypocrites, fighting for the poor and the marginalized and the downcast, right? Who doesn't love a good underdog story? I oftentimes just flip on a sporting event and root for the underdog. And then to see him crucified falsely, right? I mean, it just blew my mind going through Soul Care where he says about quit defending yourself. Jesus didn't defend himself. I thought, wow, Jesus had the perfect defense, right? But like a sheep before the shearer, he was silent. How did Jesus have peace? It only comes from Jesus. It comes from the Father. It comes from the Jesus. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from faith in God, right? Believing in what we can't see. It's like the writer of Hebrews said, we believe there's a creator of the universe even though we've never seen him. I wasn't a creation, but I believe it happened. I believe he spoke everything into existence. Because the one who wrote it is faithful. So this all begins with faith, right? Really, faith is the starting point of everything. We have to have faith to have hope, right? How do we have hope in the second coming of Christ? You have to believe that Jesus came the first time. You have to believe that he lived and he died and he made a promise to come back. We have to believe. So it begins with faith. And that's where we have hope. And then when we have faith and we have hope and we know the one we have faith in is faithful, he's going to keep his promise, we know he's loving, he's kind, he's long-suffering, then we can have peace. We can have joy, right? Well, let's look at the promises in John chapter 16, verses 29 to 33. Jesus' disciples said, ah, now you're speaking plainly and not using figures of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered him, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Right there's a shot to the prosperity gospel. We're going to have tribulation, but we don't have to be like the world. We can have peace. And when we face death, we don't have to be like the world. We're told that we mourn as those who have hope, right? Hope in the resurrection. Hope that this world is not our home. Just like we read in Hebrews chapter 11, they understood they were aliens here, right? Do we feel that? There's too many times I'm comfortable with this in this world. I'm at peace with who I am here in this world. No, we are aliens. This isn't our home. We shouldn't feel comfortable here. We shouldn't be surprised when the world hates us. But what's Jesus promise us? Take heart. Because he overcame the world. Amen? Now remember, Jesus is saying these things right before his arrest, right before his crucifixion. And Jesus knows that as soon as he gets arrested, that everyone's going to scatter. Everyone's going to leave him. How lonely would that have felt? I mean, that's the thing I love about our Savior. Jesus knows all your feelings, all your emotions. You don't have to be afraid to be open and honest with him. He knows what it's like to be abused. He knows what it's like to be lonely. He was left alone. But was he? He had the Father. He knows what it's like not necessarily to be lonely. He knows what it's like for everyone to scatter from him. But I want to take that back. I don't believe he was lonely. But he knows what it's like to have everyone betray him and everyone leave him. The difference between him and us is if you have faith like he had, if you have the Holy Spirit like he had, you really aren't alone, right? I feel bad because I really misspoke there. I don't believe Jesus was alone. He might have felt it on the cross when he said, you know, Lord, take this cup from me. I think on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he took on sin, God said he couldn't look upon sin. And I could be wrong, but I feel like the hardest part of the cross for Jesus, yes, he was a man. He was physical. He took a beating and it was horrendous. But there was a separation. There was a moment where the Father couldn't look upon the Son anymore because he was clothed in our sin. So maybe he would have felt lonely at that point. But we know that's not the end of the story. Because we're told that for the joy set before Christ, he endured the cross. What joy? Number one, pleasing the Father, right? But number two, the reconciliation of us all. God never wanted death, disease, sickness. He never wanted any of that. He didn't want separation. He didn't want loneliness. Remember, we sinned. We fell. I saw a quote by Mark Twain that was, I don't even want to quote it, but it was just very anti-God. And it was backwards. See, so many people accuse God. Like he created us, and then now he's going to accuse us for being disobedient. Everybody gets that backwards. God created perfection. We brought in sin. We are the ones that created the problem. God created heaven the first time. He created perfection. We were supposed to not die. We weren't supposed to have sin, sickness, disease. We chose that path. Don't pin that on God. Pin it on yourself. The first truth from this passage that I really, really want to hone in on is in verse 32. Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. So right there it says, they left him alone, but he wasn't alone, for the Father is with me. So that's the promise, that when we're left alone, we don't have to be alone. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Right there it is. How can we have peace instead of fear? I really believe that those are the opposites. With when you fear, you have no peace. And when you have peace, you have no fear. So how can we have no fear? How can we not be dismayed? We can have faith that it is the Lord who goes before us. He promises to be with us and to never leave us or never forsake us. Right? Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. He promises us protection. Do we believe? Do we have faith in the word of God? Do we believe he's faithful? Remember, we have an enemy and his only weapon is what? Lying. demonic forces can't make you do anything, but they can harass you and torment you with lots of lies. They can get you to believe lies. I've seen it and I've heard it, and it's sad. I've already shared my story from Soul Care with people who believe it and say, I don't want to deal with any of it. Why? Because they're believing lies. I live in freedom and peace. Not, I'm still a sinner, but I don't have the anger and the rage. I don't have the depression, the loneliness. You can be set free. But people want to walk in bondage. I don't because they're deceived. Because our enemy's a liar. Our enemy's the accuser of the brethren. I never realized a lot of my life I had negative thoughts. You're a loser. You're fat. You're just a fat kid. Because that was my identity. I grew up with that. Somebody called me that all the time. That became my identity. Even when I came to faith in Christ, I never processed it. Never dealt with that lie. Because the enemy will continue to put it in your mind. Why are you trying? You're going to fail again. That's who you are. You can't overcome this. So we have to fight with the truth. And that's why we got to really hone in on these two truths that we're just looking at right here. It's the Lord who goes before you. You don't have to be afraid. God the Father was in the boat on the stormy sea. That's why Jesus could sleep. Jesus wasn't alone. It wasn't all on him to protect his life, to save his life, to make a decision. He was walking step in step with the Father. The Father went before them. And he will be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yet they don't have to fear. I think back to my story of Sammy Dagger. He had no fear because he knew the Lord went before him. And even if those men would have shot him that day, this isn't his home, right? It's not our home. We're aliens. So do we see how important our faith is? Do we see how our faith is tied to our peace? We have to believe he goes before us. We have to believe he's with us to give us peace. We have to combat the lies of the enemy. We have to combat the damage from our upbringing, from our soul, the junk in our soul, from people, from bullying, and from our own poor decisions. We have to fight the lies of the enemy. So where does our peace and tribulation come from? Just a reminder from verse 33 of John 16. I've said these things to you, that things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, take heart, I've overcome the world. Our peace is in Jesus. No matter what you face here, he's faced it. He's overcome it. At the end of the day, this isn't our home. If we have faith in Jesus, he will be our peace. Not maybe, he will. Not probably, he will. Not if he feels like it. No, Jesus is promising that if you are in him, you will have peace. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ." He wants to give you peace. He wants to calm the storm of your soul. If we have faith, and if we're willing to do the hard work of seeking him, God is a rewarder of those who seek him. Remember in Hebrews chapter 11, I just read it. God rewards those who seek him. Are you seeking him? Are you willing to seek him? I don't know about you, but I want peace that surpasses all understanding. I want people to look at me and go, man, how's that guy have such peace? Because we are going to have tribulation, we are going to suffer. But God has peace that can guard our hearts and our mind in Jesus Christ. The enemy's already defeated. He's the author of fear. And when he faces the truth of God's word, Satan flees. Because all he has is lies, and if you combat it with truth, he flees. So the only way he can defeat us, the only way Satan can get at you, is if you believe a lie. Either your own deceitful desires, because our desires are still there, they're still deceitful. If I'm not careful, I still want the applause of men. If I'm not careful, I'll still want some of the glory. If I'm not careful, I want people to cater to me. But if we walk in step with the Holy Spirit, our enemy's defeated. His only hope is to get us to doubt the goodness of God and the promises of God and the faithfulness of God. But if we cling to the truth of God, he's already defeated. Amen? So where are we losing ground to the enemy? What lies are you believing? What are you giving ground to? This Advent, let's turn our hearts to Christ and in him find peace that can overcome the enemy. His peace can overcome anxiety and worry and fear. If we genuinely seek him, if we believe his truth over the lies of the enemy, if we have faith, he is faithful. If we have faith, he'll bring peace to our troubled soul, to our troubled sea. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's such an amazing passage, Hebrews chapter 11, where you just go down through all of your saints, all the different ways throughout history that men and women of faith overcame what they could see, and they believed in what they couldn't see. As Noah, looking forward, believed, even though he never saw rain, built an ark for 150 years in faith. Abraham bound Isaac and laid him on the altar and drew back his knife. Why? Because he had faith that you could raise him from the dead. Abraham probably never saw anything like that happen ever. But yet he had faith that if you told him to do it, you would keep your promise that through Isaac, you were going to make generations and thousands of descendants, millions of descendants, more than the sand of the shore. Thank you for being a faithful God. Thank you for being kind and patient and compassionate and loving. Lord, I just pray that everyone's hearts this morning would open like flowers before you. Receive your unconditional love of God, and by faith receive peace that surpasses all understanding. Can we even grasp that? Do we have capacity to sit in awe and wonder at the mystery of how you can give us a peace that passes all human understanding, where people would look and go, wow, what's wrong with that person? How can they be peaceful? How are they not a mess? Because this world's not our home. May we yearn and long for the second advent of Jesus Christ, where you will make peace forever. Oh, Lord, help us to long for that day. We just pray this morning was for your honor, for your glory. We pray that your son Jesus would come in our hearts this morning, deeper, truer, more beautiful than we've ever seen him. For his honor and glory we pray. Amen. You want to stand with me and sing our closing song, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne?